You cannot love God without the heart being in there. Okay? You can go through the motions, you can follow all the rules, you can say all the right things and all that other stuff. You can do that without ever investing your heart in the relationship with God. Okay? And the condition of that relationship, if that's what's going on, will be what? Basically, there is no relationship. Okay? God wants how much of us? All of us, including and especially our heart. Alright? So the writer spends considerable time here focusing on this issue of ecclesiosclerosis, a hardening of the spiritual arteries, that which, you know, we have to understand. Physically, if a person has arteriosclerosis, then what has to happen in order for that person to be okay? Yeah, you go in there with what they call a Roto-Rooter, right? You go in there and you clean out the arteries so that what happens? What flows through? The blood flows through, right? Because even the Bible says this, the life is in the blood, right? And so we cannot live physically without blood flowing through our veins and arteries. And so when our arteries get clogged, that is a potentially fatal situation, isn't it? Okay? You can die from that real easily. And so it's vitally important that you open up those arteries so the blood can continue flowing. What is the vital component in our spiritual life? It's the blood of Christ. Okay? And if spiritually our arteries are hardened, then the blood of Christ is not flowing through us, if you allow me that analogy. Everybody following me? Okay? Then the blood of Christ is not flowing in us. Okay? So our heart is not going to be working in terms of relationship with God, and that can be fatal spiritually. Beverly? Purpose of the heart and the body. Yeah, it pumps. So it pumps the blood, doesn't it? The heart is what pumps the blood through the rest of the body. So if the heart's bad, then guess what happens? The blood doesn't flow to the rest of the body, does it? Okay? And spiritually, it's the same thing. The heart has to pump the blood. Okay? And it's got to spread throughout the body. And I think you can look at that, you know, in two ways. It's not just for us individually, spiritually, that, you know, the blood of Christ and that needs to be flowing through us, so to speak, spiritually, but also through the body. Okay? So that, yes, we are having a positive effect for the Lord on the people in our lives and our community and so forth. But if we have heart problems, that's not going to happen. Okay, and spiritually speaking, an individual or a church can die, okay, of heart problems. And that's why the writer here is emphasizing just the way that he is and going, look, you need to pay attention here. Okay, when God speaks, don't harden your heart, listen to him and obey him. Don't do what your forefathers did back then. And remember what God did to them when they hardened their hearts. You see? And so there's that emphasis that he's given us to listen. When God speaks, we need to listen to him with an open heart and be receptive and obedient to His will. So, if we have the possibility of ecclesiosclerosis, and we've already talked about the cure for arterial sclerosis, okay, you got to go in there, you know, and clean out the arteries and so forth. What is the cure for ecclesiosclerosis? All right, well, go back over to beginning in verse 1, and let's talk about the spiritual cure for ecclesiosclerosis. All right, let me get somebody to read for us verses 1. 1 through 6.
Therefore, holy brothers and sisters, who share a heavenly call, fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful to God's apostle. Jesus has been our word.
Spiritual cure begins with focusing where? On Jesus. The author here says, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Okay? If you have spiritual problems, if the spiritual arteries are getting clogged, the cure for that is Jesus. All right? But let's understand a couple of things here. All right? It's really easy for us to say, well, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Everybody throws out the name of Jesus, okay? But is that what the writer here is saying? Just think about Jesus. Is that going to cure the hardening of the spiritual arteries, just thinking about Jesus? No. Okay? He's saying more than that, okay? When he says, fix your thoughts on Jesus, we need to understand that the idea behind that is, by definition, to contemplate with earnest attention. All right? It is to perceive clearly. So, in other words, it's not just the idea of having mental acknowledgement of Jesus and saying, yeah, I believe in Jesus. It is for us to have a determination to be focused on Him in our lives. You see the difference between those. A lot of people think about Jesus. Okay? A lot of people think about Jesus in the wrong context. There's a difference between thinking about Him in whatever context you might be thinking about Him, and fixing your thoughts on Him. To contemplate. What does it mean to contemplate something? This is not just casual, you know, mental acknowledgement. Okay? To contemplate is to focus intently upon a subject. Right? And then to perceive it clearly. What does it mean to perceive something? And I'm afraid that one of the problems that we have going on in the world of Christianity today is that there are a lot of people who know some things about Jesus, and a lot of people who think about Jesus, but they're not thinking about Him clearly. Okay? And so we've got to focus on Him clearly that will help us to cure a hard heart. There's a lot of things that are going on in the world around us that can distract us and harden our hearts. The writer here is encouraging us to focus on Jesus. Okay? Now, he talks about in these verses here three things that we need to clearly perceive about Jesus. All right? Three things here. First of all, he focuses on Jesus' humanity. Okay? Fix your thoughts on Jesus. What does Jesus, the name Jesus, have to do with humanity?
He lived. He knows.
Okay. And therefore, he can clearly identify with humanity. You see, his readers, the original readers that the author was writing to, those first century Hebrew Christians, they would clearly identify with his humanity, being that name being attached to him, Jesus. All right? He, that is Jesus, became one of us. Right. And they would identify that name, Jesus, also with the Hebrew version, which is what? What's the Hebrew name for Jesus? Joshua. What's Joshua? Why is that so significant? Yeah. Joshua is the one that led the Israelites into the promised land, wasn't it? And that name, Joshua, or Jesus, means salvation. That's what the word means. Okay. So it was important to the writer that his Hebrew audience would be able to recognize and focus on Jesus' humanity. Right? What are some other reasons why it would be important for them, / us today, to be able to focus, fix our thoughts on Jesus and his humanity? Anybody else have a God who actually came here and lived as a human being? They got gods that are made out of wood. They have stone. We have gods that are made out of paper. Actually, has a God we trust on it, doesn't it? Okay? Something's made out of silver and copper and all that other kind of stuff. But that's what man does, is makes gods, right? That we worship. But there's only one true God who actually came here and took on the form of his creation and lived and dwelt with his creation. And that's who? Jesus. In other words, what I'm trying to get you to understand is don't miss the significance of his name and what it means and what it says to us. Okay? It is Jesus who is. His other name, one of his his other names, but perhaps one of the most significant, that the angel told Mary was going to be what? Emmanuel, which means
God
with us. And again, who is that?
Jesus.
Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. On Jesus. His name is significant for us to recognize his humanity. That's how the Israelites knew who was being talked about. Alright? When people talk about him, now, was he the only person in, you know, Hebrew history and, you know, back in that time that was named Jesus? No. Jesus was a very common name. Okay? Joshua. Alright? But when you tap on Jesus, somebody help me. Jesus Christ, but for them, in their daily, you know, understanding, Jesus of Nazareth. That identified him being one, okay, in a very special way. When you talked about him, everybody knew who you were talking about. That's Jesus. And by the time the writer of Hebrews writes these things, he didn't have to, and that's, I think, one reason why he doesn't tack on of Nazareth. Because by then, when people were talking about Jesus, they weren't talking about the Jesus, you know, a little village over here and a little village over there. Everybody knew. When you mentioned the name of Jesus, everybody knew who you were talking about. You no longer had to tack on of Nazareth. Chuck, did you have your hand up a moment ago?
Speak of his humanity, and I've never prayed it, talked to God much of him now, but there's some little knowing that he knows what I'm doing. He went through that and got a whole lot of words, and he made it through.
What's that doing for your heart right now, Chuck?
It's good, but it keeps me.
You see how fixing your thoughts on Jesus, okay, can help your heart. And that's one of the things the author here is wanting to emphasize. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, the humanity of Jesus, the God who became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Who can identify with each and every one of us in terms of what we do, what we go through in our lives, and so forth. So the first step, the first part of the cure is the humanity of Jesus. The second one is his apostleship. Notice that the writer here says on Jesus, okay, the apostle. And I don't know of anywhere else, I don't know of anyone else who refers to Jesus as an apostle, except right here. All right? What is the significance of his apostleship? What does the word apostle mean? Okay? Literally mean one who is sent. Okay? That's what the word apostle means. One who is sent. John chapter 13 and verse 3. Okay? There, when Jesus is getting ready to wash the feet of his disciples, it tells us that Jesus knew that he had come from God and was returning to God. Okay? Where did he come from?
From God.
Why did he come here? Because he was sent. That qualifies him as being an apostle. Nine times in the Gospel of John, Jesus refers to his being sent by the Father. At least nine different times. He is one who is sent. Let me read to you. On the page here. I want to read to you a section here about what the author here of this study guide has about this topic. Right. He says, in Roman culture, the word, that is the word apostle, okay? In Roman culture, the word frequently meant an ambassador. When the king of Syria invaded Egypt, Rome sent an apostle, or an envoy, or ambassador, to tell the Syrian king to call off the invasion. The envoy's name was Populus. Populus had no army, not even a bodyguard. But what he did have was all the authority of Rome. Populus gave the Syrian king a message from Rome. Antiochus said, "I'll consider it." Populus drew a circle around the king and said, "Consider it and give me a decision before you step out of this circle." Without hesitation, Antiochus decided to take Rome's advice. Jesus brought with him no heavenly army of angelic soldiers. What he did bring with him was even more impressive. Heavenly authority.
Amen.
And so the writer encourages us, as well as those of the first century, the first audience of this, recipients of this letter, to consider Jesus' apostleship. One who had been sent from God with heaven's full authority. Matthew chapter 7, verse 29. Jesus spoke to the people there at the mountain, okay, the Sermon on the Mount, and at its conclusion, it says that he taught, and the people had faith in him because he taught as one who had authority. Mm-hmm. Okay. In chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 6, Jesus healed the man who was crippled. Okay? He told him what? Initially. Your sins are forgiven. And some of those religious leaders who were there in the crowd started questioning and wondering, who is this that proposes to forgive men's sins? And Jesus responded by saying, that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. I tell you to take up your mat and go home. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, do what? Go and make disciples. Okay? And in John chapter 10, verses 17 and 18, Jesus talks about the authority that he had to lay down his own life. So in all of those respects, Jesus was God's ambassador to us, his apostle, who came with all of the authority of heaven. That is, to speak and to act on heaven's behalf. The writer of Hebrews here says, fix your thoughts on Jesus, his humanity, and his apostleship. That is the authority that he has to act on behalf of heaven. And third, we need to fix our thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest. Okay? That's the third descriptive here. He is a high priest. The Latin for high priest is pontifex. Okay? And that word basically means a bridge builder. A bridge builder. And so Jesus, the apostle and high priest, was commissioned to build a bridge between heaven and earth, and between God and man. Jesus, the apostle and high priest, represents God to man and man to God. The high priest under the old law, what was his position? What was your thought? Okay, he's a mediator, basically, between the Israelites and God. He was the only one who was allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies, which was what? Yeah, the inner chamber, but why was that so special?
Because God was present.
Yeah, because that was God's presence, wasn't it? And the high priest was the only one who was allowed to enter into that chamber, that part of the temple. All right. He went in there to make atonement for his sins and for the sins of the people. Jesus, as our high priest, enters into heaven to represent us before Almighty God. He offered himself as a sacrifice to take away our sins. In 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, he is described as our defense attorney and atoning sacrifice. John says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense.
Right.
Literally, he is our defense attorney. Okay? He is the bridge builder between us and God. And so, the author here wants us to focus our attention on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, as part of our cure, all right, for ecclesiosclerosis, or hardening of the spiritual arteries. How do we overcome that? How do we have a heart that is for God? Well, it begins by focusing on Jesus, messenger of God, and our high priest, our bridge builder. See, you won't ever really focus on those things if your heart's not in it. See, you'll focus on Jesus and go, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But when you begin to focus on Jesus' humanity, and you begin to understand from the heart the significance of his humanity to your salvation, and you focus upon Jesus as being a messenger from God, then you begin to understand why it is so important to listen and pay attention to that message. It's not just another message. It is a message from Almighty God Himself, our Creator. And when you begin to focus on Him as a high priest, then you begin to really understand why we need that bridge built. Because without Him, we would be lost. Right? Finish this up here.
Yeah, one of the things that we don't ever want to make a mistake and not, I want to say this, we don't never want to take Christ for granted. Because it's so important that we don't forget who we are. Because sometimes, you know, you be a child of God, and it's just like, it doesn't mean as much to you. You know, you've been a child of God for long, so you almost think you got through it.
Right.
You know. But that's not what it is. We have to make sure that we never forget our faith and what He did for us. And so often we can easily forget that. And I don't ever want to forget it. You know, God has blessed me so much, I have to pinch myself sometimes. It's really, you know, I'm just thankful. I'm just so thankful.
These are some things that will help us to have a soft heart for God, one that is seeking after Him, rather than hardening our heart.
Amen.
Okay? All right. Thank y'all very much. We will continue next week.